Okay, great. All right, today is November 5th, 2024. For those watching this in the future, in the distant future, you might want to look up the date. It's a significant historical turning point. Otherwise, never mind. We're going to sit for about 20 minutes, and then I'll talk some more. I guess I'm just going to be talking the whole time. I guess that's my job, if you can call it a job. Okay, kids, sorry. All right, just, settling into your posture, whatever that might be, whether it's seated or lying down or mindful walking. And just seeing if you can, start by just feeling your body at rest, connecting with the experience of not moving. And we turn toward the body. And there can be an immediate shift at times in how we're feeling in the present moment. Our body contains the agitation and fear, and it contains the calm and peace. So I kind of think of that agitation as just a flow of energy moving through, or a wave. It's not a solid thing or something I have to control or get away from. Just allow it to play out its lifespan. And we use the breath to help with that process. Sometimes some deeper breaths, or particular focus on exhaling and releasing. That feeling when you're in a yoga posture and you just breathe out and move a little deeper into that posture, that softening and releasing. And there still may be the other less comfortable energies floating through there, but maybe to put a little more attention on the breath and that sense of release with each breath. So the attention can become more narrowly focused for a little while on the sensations of breath. Feeling the breath, either the touch of air at the nostrils or the movement of the belly rising and falling. These very specific sensations specific points of sensation in the body. And this can just help to bring a little more calm. Breathing in and breathing out. Even as we focus on the breath, or try to focus on the breath, we may get carried away with thoughts. It's natural for the mind to wander. We don't have to suppress thoughts or push them away. If you can just maybe lose interest in your thoughts for a few moments. Just gain interest in being present. One way to work with thoughts is to have a sense of a spacious mind. So not trying to narrow the attention too much, letting the attention be somewhat open, still feeling the breath, but seeing that the breath is happening within a broader space where thoughts move through. Sensations and energies move through. And there's a quality of observing and a quality of allowing or accepting. But neither of these is a quality of controlling. Not trying to control the mind so much as just allow it to find its natural space of calm through non-interference and non-aggression. Just a gentle, consistent effort at presence. And this is a subtle perspective to develop. If you're new to that perspective, it may take time to find what it feels like to just sit with an open, accepting, allowing awareness without just feeling confused or lost. So the breath functions as our grounding in that space. The thing that persists moment by moment in our awareness, breathing in, breathing out. Almost like the place of calm in the storm of mind and body. Place of safety, a refuge. I could say the more direct refuge is the refuge of loving kindness, self-compassion. So when the heart mind becomes disturbed, when the mindful breathing doesn't feel like enough, and try to arouse an attitude of caring, of kindness toward our own experience. Just feeling our vulnerability, our frailty as human beings, as living beings. We operate in our lives as if we are in control, but we encounter these moments and I see that our mind has its own agenda that we can't always direct or control. Causes and conditions of our lives arrive at this moment in different forms. And when they are painful or difficult, we need to find a way to meet them with kindness, as though taking care of a child. A vulnerable one. And again, this is a subtle attitude that needs to be developed. Not something we can just impose, something that we learn to practice and develop as a resource. Excuse me. All right. Well, see, we have quite a turnout this morning. I'm going to assume that it's has something to do with the external circumstances of the day. And I'm not, at this point, I've given up trying to pretend that I don't have strong opinions about politics. And I suspect we're in agreement on that. And, it really struck me last night that we're at this actual moment in history where, a huge potential turning point in American history, if not world history. And it's strange to be aware of that, right? Sometimes those things happen, I think, and people don't realize they're in that at that moment. But we don't come here to this group, to this class, to delve too much into that. I think we all know kind of what's happening, and we're here really to find ways to live our lives that are meaningful and free from suffering in the Buddhist terms. And again, we can't deny what's the external world, but one of the great challenges is to hold the inner life skillfully, wisely, and be engaged in the outer world. In the late 60s, as I was a teenager and yet came of draft age and all that, and a horrible war was going on, I really shut down around politics and just was like, screw you guys, and I didn't engage for a long time, practically till I got sober. And that wasn't helpful. I didn't help anybody, including myself. At the same time, I see people who become so distressed that that political world becomes their whole view. And so the Dharma gives us this other way of holding our lives and holding the world. There's so much wisdom in the Dharma. And so maybe a few things to say about the wisdom that the Dharma gives us. And these are themes that many of you have heard me talk about before, but they are never out of date. As an aside, just sometimes I'll look at the old issues of Inquiring Mind magazine. Can you imagine like reading an issue of like whatever, some old Newsweek from 1955 or 1985, and be like, oh, this is an interesting artifact. But if you read an old issue of Inquiring Mind, you're like, oh, great, the Dharma, it's timeless, it's the same, it's not like old, it's not like some different time. But what I often start with is this realization that the Buddha talked about, the pervasive habits of greed, hatred, and delusion, of people grasping for things, of people pushing things away and judging things and being prejudiced about things, of people being deluded about where happiness comes from, where goodness comes from. And that those are first those are the first things we have to address in a spiritual practice, our own greed, hatred, and delusion. And then if we come to some kind of balance around those things internally, we have to, I say have to, but also just forgive myself for that language, We have to turn to the world and see that, oh, that's out there as well. How am I going to respond to that? Because it's so natural to respond to external greed, hatred, and delusion with more aversion, more hatred, or fear. To first of all, just see that this isn't, you know, what we're living through is not something unique, that it's timeless. This is just as timeless as the Dharma is the timeless tendencies of greed, hatred, and delusion. And to understand that there are cycles. And so then there's the truth of impermanence, that countries rise and countries fall, that leaders rise and leaders fall. And to, again, not to like, oh, well, it's all just empty. Yeah, on some level, it's all empty. But for me, the, you know, seeing the greed, hatred, and delusion, seeing the impermanence, there's still this sorrow that comes up, you know, this fear that comes up. And that's where the self-compassion, loving kindness comes in. That I really need to be able to take care of myself internally and hold whatever's happening before I even try to send it to anybody else. You know, even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child. So this is kind of what I was referring to in the guided meditations, like that phrasing from the Buddha. It's describing, right, something happening with people and duality, you know, a mother and a child, but it's our inner experience. We have to mother ourselves, our own heart, and take care of ourselves. So whatever, what does that mean? Each of us has to know that. You know, as people in recovery, we understand the risk of becoming overwhelmed, that there is this danger of, you know, on the most extreme of relapse, but also of becoming so emotionally distraught that we're creating a miserable life for ourselves. Because this is indeed our life now, and we are living our lives. And what are we going to do in that context? Again, there's, you know, lots of things that we can do externally, and hopefully each of us has done what we felt we could do to, you know, foster a wholesome and positive outcome. But the inner world really requires a lot of vigilance, you know, it really does. And this is where mindfulness comes in. You know, it's so precious to be able to see, oh, where am I going with my mind right now? What exactly am I doing? And realizing that I have a choice in that. This is one of the key ideas that the Dharma gives us too, that we are not victims of our own mind. You know, we have some influence over what happens to our minds. We're not in absolute control, but we can bring intentionality to it, and so that we balance, yes, I'm going to be engaged in the world, and I'm going to know when to pull back, and I'm even going to try to be engaged with a peaceful heart, with a loving heart, with a joyful heart. And you see that with Kamala Harris, that there's this engagement, this powerful engagement and just determination, and then just the joy that breaks out. And it's, you know, this obviously it's sort of the, you know, the story about her that, you know, suppose, you know, at one point was depicted as something, you know, negative. But, you know, I really do. I am inspired by her as a human being. I don't think as a president she can do anything particularly radical, because we obviously we have it. more complicated political system than that. But as a human being, I think she's a great model for us. And and just as she portrays herself, who knows who she is? I mean, not that I don't think she's somebody else, but she's got her own inner life and demons to live with and an ego and all that. But just this portrayal on the stage, what of that energy, I think is very helpful for me because it shows both this determination and clarity, along with this, it's got to be joyful. And so I guess I'm going to review because I've talked. It may have sounded like I was just rambling here, but I started by talking about greed, hatred, and delusion, and then I talked about impermanence. And then I talked about loving kindness. And then I talked about mindfulness. So what I'm talking about is the Dharma, okay? And these are these components that we want to remember to draw upon. These aren't just random things I'm talking about. I'm talking about them in a framework because ultimately what I'm talking about is taking refuge in the Dharma. Taking refuge in the Buddha and taking refuge in the Sangha, because that is how we ultimately protect ourselves. And that's what all of this is about, is taking refuge. That our trust in, our commitment to living by the principles of the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha are the things that will carry me through all every experience in my life. They're the only things that I can actually rely on, that I can trust wholly, fully, that will not betray me, will not fail me, and will not pass away. People will come and go, countries will come and go, planets will come and go, breath will come and go. Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha are timeless and wholly trustworthy. And so to really, this is why it's really valuable to study the Dharma and to have some, basic framework of what the Dharma means. And this is, this list I'm giving you is one version. It's not at all comprehensive, but it's in these circumstances, I think it's a helpful guideline to remember, okay, there's greed, hatred, and delusion. That's that insanity out there, right? It's not, but it's also happening in this historical context, and history is about impermanence, okay? And so, right, it's coming and going, okay. Things have been really bad before, things, and nations come and go, okay. And it's really hard. So I need to bring care, okay. I need to bring loving kindness and compassion to myself and to others, to the world of suffering out there. And to do all of that, I've got to be present. I've got to be mindful. That's sort of my advice for getting through today, Just keep and you can draw and think of your own things too. I mean, I'm sure each of you has your own practice and your own, tools that you draw upon and perspectives you draw upon. But it was, 4 years ago, and I've talked about this several times, that the night of the last election, when I thought that, the former president was going to be reelected, that as I felt myself dropping into despair, that I just stepped away from the television, frankly, and went upstairs and lay down in my bed and reminded myself that my refuge is not America. My refuge isn't Kamala Harris or Joe Biden or the Democratic Party. It's not Donald Trump. My refuge is Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. And that no matter what, they're there. So we are here, because of that. That's why we're sitting together here, because we all need the refuge of Sangha, of our community, and we realize that it's, well, I mean, what more than to say we need it? It is foundational. And of course, in the recovery world, it's, Sangha is the program to a great extent, the fellowship, the meetings, and so so maybe just a little bit more on what Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha mean as refuges, because it can be sort of abstract and sort of like, oh yeah, sure, like something sort of faith-based or something. So taking refuge in the Buddha really is about committing to being present. The Buddha represents being awake, being present in our lives. And so, when I had my knee redone a couple weeks ago, I try to come into those situations really being aware of my breath and being aware of the situation. And when you come out of surgery and you kind of wake up and it's like, what happens here? It's like, oh, I'm committed to being here for this experience. And so, part of that has meant breathing with pain and being present with pain. But that doesn't mean like if it becomes agonizing that I'm just like, grit my teeth. It means like, oh, if it became agonizing, then I would take the appropriate medication, and I'm taking care of myself. But just like this is a really interesting experience, right? This is what like one of the things that's beautiful about the Dharma. Like having your knee replaced is a really interesting experience if you're interested. Having the world turned upside down through politically is an interesting experience, So to be engaged, to be present, to be here for it, what is happening, and which then means, well, what's coming up, and how am I going to work with that? So all of that stuff, taking refuge in the Buddha, really is about being present and working with what shows up, and then being. Taking refuge in the Dharma is this perspective, remembering the truth of impermanence, remembering greed, hatred, and delusion, remembering the Eightfold Path, remembering to breathe, right? Remembering the compassion. And that's where this, as I say, the study of the Dharma really helps. And then taking refuge in the Sangha is this. But it is this community, but it also, Ajahn Amaro puts it more as the Sangha is what emerges when the awakened mind or the Buddha mind engages with the Dharma. What emerges is the Sangha. And so there's this literal community, but it's also viewed as the manifestation of wholesomeness. That is to say, living with sila, if you know that term, morality or ethics of sobriety, is what manifests when the mind that is present sees the truth of things. Then it manifests, we manifest our lives in a wholesome way, which then that has something to do with the engagement, with the political engagement, with the caring about the world, and wanting to help the world. So it's a great guideline, and if you listen to talks from the Thai forest tradition, especially Ajahn Sumedho and Ajahn Pasano, almost every talk he gives talks about the refuges and the precepts. That's like his central theme, and this is a someone who's been a monk for 50 years, and he could be talking about emptiness and the jhanas or something, but he talks about taking refuge in the precepts. And I take that as a great reminder that I don't have to go out there and get too complicated with what the Dharma means for me. And I will say, for those in the Bay Area, the monks from the Abhayagiri Monastery will be at the Berkeley Buddhist Monastery today, 5 o'clock for tea time, and then in the evening, 7:30 for a sitting and talk. So if you're around, or if you can fly in quickly, you still got time. I'm going to try to get over there. It'll be my first outing. That's, it seems like plenty out of my mouth for now. And so I'll open it up for any thoughts or reflections. I see a hand. That is, oh, Eric, hi.
Hi Kevin, how you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Good, good. I really appreciated everything I heard today, and I really needed this meditation amongst all this turmoil swirling around. I have all these clients that are so reactionary around the political climate, and for me right now though, I'm experiencing a breakup, and it's my
Oh.
first heartbreak in sobriety. And
Oh.
what you said about aren't can we treat this as, an interesting time is kind of where what I've been trying to get to, to get into acceptance, of, I mean, back to the serenity prayer,
Yeah.
the things I cannot change and the things that I can, and really all I can control is myself and my reactions. And so I'm just really having to dig deep right now. But I feel really blessed and grateful that I have a group like this to go to. To remind me of these things, I have a tendency to forget things, and so I got to hear things over and over and over again to remind myself that, yeah, this is actually a beautiful experience, experiencing my emotions really for the first time, not having to try and bury those with drugs and alcohol. And it hurts, and amongst all the turmoil going around, and it seems like everyone's going crazy, and I'm just trying to kind of turn off right now, and be with myself. And you were talking in the meditation about self-compassion and being kind to myself, and those are not things that are always so familiar to me, but tools that I have learned through the rooms and through this practice and friends like you. So I just really appreciate being here today, and thank you so much.
Thanks, Eric. I'm really sorry to hear that. It's really one of the most difficult forms of pain to experience is a heartbreak. Boy, whew, I hope that passes quickly. Yeah. Thanks. Other thoughts, comments? Jamie, hi, nice to see you. My Anapanasati mate.
Yes. Can y'all hear me okay? I don't.
Yeah.
I just two things I just wanted to mention. First of all, thank you. During the meditation, you mentioned the word developing interest in the moment. And I know during this course we're taking that a lot of times we talk about curiosity of the moment. And which you would think they're pretty much the same, but for me, hearing you say interest, to me, curiosity kind of leads me to a moment of like, okay, what's going to happen next, or what's so I get a little bit caught in thinking in that way. But when you said it was funny, and maybe I've heard it before. I'm a person who reads a lot, so sometimes I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing sometimes. So, when you said interest, I was like, oh, yeah, that's a whole different, it's kind of the same thing, but without the whole waiting to like grabbing onto what's going to happen next. It's just like,
Right.
let's just see what happens.
Yeah.
So thank you for that. just as a quick aside, like coming up in a Southern Baptist church, there's a saying that like, oh, the preacher stepped on my toes today, meaning whatever they said, like really hit me. You stepped on my toes today. So, but I did want to share an experience real quick that I hope brings a little bit of hope to some people without addressing political affiliation. I hope everybody here, well, I try to be, I live in a very rural conservative area in the South Georgia area. So be respectful of that and compassionate toward that. So I took my mom, who I'm a caregiver for, to vote today. And on the way home, and she is 72. On the way home, we kept talking, and I told, she's like, "Do you want to know who I voted for?" And I was like, no, I really don't. I don't care. I like taking her to vote. I think it's something very important, as long as she can do it." But then she just kept on. I said, "Do you want to tell me who you voted for?" And so when we part, and I was getting her out of the car and helping her inside the house, she said, "Oh, well, I voted for Harris." And I was very, I'm a gay man. And beside that doesn't define everything, but there are a lot of issues that, and I almost cried. I did a happy and I gave her a hug. I told her I was proud of her. And what I wanted, and that's beside the point, really, what I wanted to share that I hope we can all appreciate, especially the women, being a cisgender man, it almost brought me to tears. My mom isn't one who likes to brag. She didn't want to tell anybody because of the environment we live in, which I totally understand. She wants to keep it very personal. She'd probably kill me if I was telling y'all right now. But I asked her on the way up the stairs to the house, as she's holding my arm and I'm helping her up. And I just looked at her, I said, "How does it feel being a woman voting for hopefully the first woman president of our lifetime?" And she didn't say anything, but I know my mom, and she looked at me and her whole face changed and it just lit up. And she gave me just this slight little grin. And literally, the profundity, like things like that just move me. I'm very sensitive to people when they realize like the profundity of a situation, no matter what it is. That moment, like that is, to me, that was truly a very in the moment Buddhist kind of like, just that whole moment was just like I could just see it on her face. Like she realized in that moment, like, oh wow. Yeah. Because then we started talking about after that, like women haven't had the right to vote for very long in this country. And like the significance of that. But that I just wanted to share that moment for anybody who is just feeling like crazy, like those moments occur even today, like those just little profound moments. And like I say, I hope no matter what your political affiliation is, you can see the value in moments like that in our lives, like regardless if they're political or whatever, even in recovery, when that light bulb goes off and you're like, oh, yes, I am an addict, and you kind of give over to the Dharma or your higher power or whatever. Like those moments are so just profound, and I had one today, and I got to share it with my mom. So I just wanted to share that as a, in this climate right now today, that hopefully as a happy moment. So thank you for entertaining my long soapbox.
Thanks, Jamie. It's beautiful, man. It's just so interesting that historical element of this situation is secondary. Whereas 8 years ago, that was the big thing, But anyway, we're counting on you, Georgia. So you go. And hi.
Greetings. Well, that
Hey.
was so beautiful. You had me in tears. It's not hard to do these days, but
Really.
because I'm just, feel it. The meditation was, it was really interesting, just as you were talking about basically holding the vulnerable child in loving kindness, loving awareness. That's kind of where my mind was. It was just this beautiful moment of synergy or something. But so yeah, I you know s similar I guess it's similar to James, but just w during the meditation I was being present with a lot. But one of the moments was this, I think you said the word potential, or was that after the meditation? It was like this, the potential, there's this like potential, and that potential can sweep me away. Right. So it has, nothing's happened yet, but there's this like, yeah, it is historic. And so in meditation, and just in my daily life, noticing my feelings and reactions to things like the potential, it's not here yet, but I can feel it. I can ride the wave of that potential. It's almost like riding a wave of craving in a sense, because it is a craving, right? It's like, oh, it's a grasping for what might or might not happen. Not yet. So yeah, just thanks for the message. Just being with, I mean, this is what it is, just being present with whatever feelings, sensations are here. And not getting into the what if on either side. So, yeah.
You know, it's one of the things that's so valuable to me about a long-term practice and recovery is not unlike this, is that you get familiar with many different mind states and emotional states and physical states. So just as I was talking about like working with the pain in my knee and recovering, it's like, oh, I've had pain in my knee. I've sat through hours on meditation retreats with pain in my knee, you know, and so what pain, whatever, in my back, whatever, you know, and the same with emotions and with the kind of roller coaster. It's like, oh, I'm familiar with this. I've breathed with these kind of feelings before, and it's that familiarity that I think makes it so much easier. It's like, oh yeah, this is nothing new. This is just the, you know, the more waves of existence, waves of emotion, waves of energy.
Yeah, the context is new, but the feelings are the same,
Right.
which is fascinating.
The content itself,
Yeah.
versus
The process. It's
but
like,
to that, just tune in. Oh, what does this feel like? Oh yeah, feels a little bit like, you know, being nervous when you're going to go on a interview with the teacher on a retreat or something, you know, that seems much more trivial, but still it's just a feeling, you know. It's like, oh yeah, I can breathe with that.
I can agree with that. Thank
Yeah,
you.
thanks. Monica from the state of Colorado.
Indeed. Jamie brought tears to my eyes as well. Thank you, Jamie. It makes it easier for me to feel compassionate to others that aren't very likable. And when I see people in the middle of all the melee, choosing to go the positive way, choosing, to do, to like the precepts, do no harm, all sentient beings. It's not some sentient beings are free from suffering. It is all sentient beings. So, and so it's, and I'm grateful that we created such a beautiful community here, that we can come here and remember that this is the practice. And tonight I lead, I'm a friend and I are responsible for keeping a Cocaine Anonymous meeting that was in person online or during COVID and stayed because we're all over the world now. But I also pointed, I remembered that no matter what happens, recovering must go on. You must keep showing up. You must do the work. And you don't must, but you have a choice. And to not the to not bring in something else, but I'm a big Tolkien fan, and in The Lord of the Rings, it's Gandalf talking to, I forget which one of the hobbits, but he they were really scared, and there was a war going on, and he said, all men have faced this, and it's up to us to choose how to live our lives with whatever time we have left. So it could be a long life, a short one. But I believe that compassion is the way. I believe the middle way is the way. And I'm grateful that I get reminders here. So thank you.
Thanks, Monica. So, two things. One is this Friday is my Spirit Rock class. So, if I, just if you're looking for something later in the week when things are less unknown, come and join that Friday night. So I'm going to keep going today as long as I need to go. I know people have to fall away, and so who have things to do and lives to live, and or they're just had enough. But I will stay here as long as people are asking questions. So it's kind of like the if you're in line to vote, when the t time comes, then you still get to vote. So, Pat, hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for the time today. I'm in the UK, so I don't get to vote. And, well, I get to vote, but I don't get to vote in the US election. But it's been really interesting and useful, this session, because it's helped me to sort of realize that I've been building up with a sort of sense of anxiety to this result, and I think others have spoken of this. Almost an attachment to an outcome, and wanting a particular outcome, and something that I, less than you guys can influence, and it feels really important to me, this, this the outcome, and the opportunities that, are presented to people, and so I guess it's been quite helpful just to sort of reflect and think about how that's been making me feel. And it's in some ways useful to be engaged and interested, but it's not useful to sort of perhaps have so much of my self invested in an outcome that I can't influence, if you like. So that's been very useful just to think about that and reflect on that. You talked about finding things interesting. I'm fairly new to this journey, both of sobriety and the Buddhist studies and practices. And so the concept of finding things like pain interesting, I intellectually, I can parse that and it makes sense to me. But when I think about, things that I want to be interested in, pain isn't normally something, or anxiety or fear. These are things that I've shunned in my life, and so on. So, yeah, I guess, I guess that's a it's an interesting concept. And I can see that if I can, if I can build some of that practice, then that could be helpful. I'm reminded of probably I it's it, may you live in interesting times. It's just seen as a curse, isn't it? On that, so we're sort of pre-programmed to, I guess, seek those things that we see as being good and helpful to us, rather than accept the things that are not. So yeah, it's just been good to think about those things. So thank you.
Thanks, Pat. Very Irish name for an Englishman, but let you go on that. The idea of interest, it's sort of like realizing that whatever happens, you're going to react to it. And the natural tendency is to react with either desire or aversion. So you're even moving toward or moving away from something. And both of them, according to the Buddhist teachings, cause more distress. They cause dukkha, they cause suffering if we get caught up in desire and aversion. So interest, being interested, is a way of just
I'm muted. That's my bad.
being interested is a way of shifting your relationship to things. Instead of being in this role of liking or disliking, you're just in one of like, oh, what is it? And particularly with pain, one reason why that's particularly useful is that we have such a tendency to avoid pain that we never actually experience it. We never really see it for what it is. And so it winds up being this bugaboo, this thing I can't handle, and then when you become interested in it, you discover that, oh, it can be unpleasant, but it sort of like it does different things. So there's a lot more going on. It's not a solid thing. It's not an object. It's an energetic experience. And then, then it's a completely sh you're shifting your mind state in relationship to it, and interest then easily bleeds into concentration, and concentration has this calming quality, which then can actually bring out the pleasant experience of it. So all of a sudden, something that seems really bad can become actually arousing something somewhat pleasant, if not, or at least interesting, like, oh, that's what this feels like. There's a segment in my book, my workbook, Buddhism, the 12 Steps workbook. It's in step six, I believe, or seven, that's called Effort and the Dharma of Pain. And it's quite a long piece, but it goes through the how to work with pain, and sort of elaborates on these ideas. Cheryl, hi.
Well, hello to you, and thank you so much. Buddhism, in terms of recovery, is something relatively new for me. I read your book about breathing and the 12 steps, which I really like, and I like the fact that you show vulnerability, so I can really relate to that throughout your process. But I just wanted to share, I can't help but think of Viktor Frankl in this moment, given our circumstances. And somehow, although he didn't use Buddhist terminology, he was very good at being in the moment, having a sense of purpose, and maintaining his power to choose what he attended to. And contemplating that gives me great comfort, and it reminds me of my power to attend to that, to have a choice in attending to what I attend to. It was like taming the external circumstances. And I just find that to be so in alignment with some of the Buddhist principles, especially in terms of equanimity. I'm sure this man was totally aware of what was happening around him. He was in the midst of it. Yet his power of choice was and per choice and purpose, and you just spoke about it. He actually utilized that to then develop logo therapy, so something good came out of it because of his choices. And I'm going to shut up after this because I'm really curious to hear your comments.
Yeah, I don't have anything to say about that, Cheryl, except that's great. I mean, I am only vaguely aware of Viktor Frankl. I'm mostly aware of like the one famous saying he said, between the stimulus and response, there is a space. But I really appreciate everything you're saying. I think you're right on, and this is, wisdom is wisdom, right? And you don't have to. Buddhism isn't like something that's got some kind of a corner on wisdom. Human beings have been discovering these truths through many different approaches over time, and of course Frankl discovered it through the deepest forms of suffering in the Holocaust, and that's which is very telling, right? It's like when our back is up against the wall, we either find a way through or we succumb. And obviously he found a brilliant and insightful way through. That's beautiful. And may we all be guided by that way of approaching challenges in our lives. Yeah. Well, thank you. And Bob from New Mexico.
Hey, Kevin. Good to see you.
Hey, you too.
Thanks for everything today. I've been kind of in and out. Work has been crazy, but I'm not going to complain about that, though I like to.
Right.
What this weekend, our AA group, my men's group around here, a couple of the men's groups, we have a retreat, and it's this weekend. And we go up to the Jemez at the Hummingbird Music Camp, and it's just a gorgeous place. The guys trout fish up there, and it's just wonderful. I haven't been live since COVID. I heard stories. It's a rural area up there, and we have some Santa Feans who are very rural. They're horse, cattle, the whole nine yards, and Trump.
Yeah.
I'm distraught. I'm a little, I don't know if distraught's the right word, but I'm a little fearful of
Well.
what, and if somebody says something, what I'm gonna say. See,
Oh yeah,
my response,
right.
my that space that you just said between is about real small. And I'm trying to enlarge that space for people who I don't even know how to explain it. I mean, how I feel about this, and why I feel like this. And I'm going back into my childhood and all this. I've been a current events junkie since I was 11 years old. When John Kennedy got shot, I was a mess. At
Me
11,
too.
I mean, how in the hell does that happen? My father was a Nixon guy, you know, so that it was not a good household for me. I'm a little fearful of this, but I'm praying, and I have my sponsee going and my sponsor. So I don't want to be an asshole.
Words to live by.
That's what it is. I mean,
I strive for the same, and sometimes I fail. So, I mean, you can always step away. If it's a 12-step situation, 12-step programs are not affiliated with any sect, denomination, politics, or organization. And so, whereas here, this is not a 12-step meeting. This is why I'm not. I don't, necessarily restrain myself from bringing up political things, but I wouldn't talk about it in an AA meeting. I just wouldn't, I mean, I know it would in Berkeley where I live, I'm sure it would show up anyway, but it's a good, I think it's a good policy, particularly where you know that there's going to be these competing sides that you just stay out of it. And but I would also just say, like, if there's that moment where it's like you're getting set off, just take a walk. It'll be a beautiful, or every, it sounds like you'll be in a beautiful place, and stepping outside might be the ideal way to handle it. That's my advice today, Bob.
That's good. I'm going to bring my guitar too.
That's always good. Yeah, I was playing mine yesterday.
Thank you
Nice.
much, and I'm glad you're feeling better and
Thanks.
continue to
Thank you.
heal.
And have a great retreat. Yeah.
You too.
Jamie, it looks like you want to double dip. Okay, well, that's going to
Yeah.
be a
I do. Well, actually, Bob, I've taken a lot of walks.
Yeah.
where I live. So
Yeah.
that's good advice. I did just want to just jump in there, and for anybody who's left, and like I say, this is also the first time my mom has voted Democrat in her
Wow.
entire life.
Wow. May she be, the model
I think my conversation about my concerns and where I was coming from showed her that like our votes matter not only for us, but for those that we care about. And I'll just leave it at that. So.
Thanks, Jamie. All right, my dears, for those who were the stalwarts who hung out, nice to see you all. I am going to take a walk, see what that's like. Life gets very simple when it's like, oh, okay, I'm going to take a walk today. It's going to be 5 minutes.
For
And
the knee.
then I'm going to lie down and ice it for a while. So, really, may we all be safe, and may our world be safe, and may sanity rule today in our strange, strange country that we live in, a place of contradictions. And I guess that's that sums it up. It's a place of contradictions, and hopefully the good contradiction shows up today. So, and as I said, come on Friday night to Spirit Rock, and it'll be a really uplifting, happy, joyful talk, or else I'll just won't be even teaching. Kevin has retired.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you,
All right, you
everybody.
guys.
Thank you.
Okay, Abigail.
Thank you, everyone. Thanks,
Thank you,
Kevin.
Kevin.
Thanks all. Take care.
Peace,
Care to
folks.
that knee and do walk. Just
Thanks.
walk. That's
Yeah, that's
very
it.
so. All
All right, you guys.
right.
Bye, everyone.
Bye
Thank you,
bye.
Kevin.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.